I wonder, what does music mean to you? What kind of music do you have playing in the background as you start your daily routine? When you wake up, fix a breakfast, get into work, perhaps there are some musics that you are always playing in the background, but sometimes you don't really pay much attention. But what about when you're going through hardship, storms in life? When you wake up in the morning and that bed feels like sinking sand and you dread to open up your eyes to face the reality, are there any kind of music that rings close to your heart? One of my favorite songs when growing up as a teenager was written by a king, King of the Pops, Michael Jackson. And the song went like this: "You are not alone, I am here with you. Though we're far apart, you're always in my heart." I remember listening to that over and over again back in 97, when I first stepped into this country, torn away from my father, my brother, and grandparents. And I came here with my mom and a suitcase to start a new life. And even that suitcase got stolen on the first day we arrived in North London. So there was I, feeling very lonely, hopeless. And this song ran close to my heart because I wanted to believe that I was not alone, that someone out there was with me. Though we're far apart, you're always in my heart. And I knew about God, but I didn't really personally know him. So this song was the only hope that I can cling on to. But what good is it if you are in someone's heart, but they're not around when you need them the most, and you feel left all alone? Today we're going to look at another song written by another king. One of the most popular songs from the Bible, written by King David, a sacred song that would have been sung through generations over thousands of years, often taught at Sunday school, even recited in funerals. And it's probably one of the few passages in the Bible we know it by heart. But have you ever stopped and wondered why? Why does Psalm 23 attract so much attention? And what does it mean to us today? What is God trying to reveal to us through this psalm? Our challenge for us today is to slow ourselves down as we dive into this familiar passage. Go step by step and try to see God through the lens of Psalm 23, to see him more clearly as the Bible speaks to us. So the psalm begins with an opening: "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." Notice how it's written in the present tense: "The Lord is." It doesn't say "the Lord was" or "the Lord will be," but "the Lord is." Emmanuel, God, is present with us now, today, in every moment of our life. Not someone just who created a universe in a distant galaxy away beyond our grasp and left us abandoned, but he is here with us now. "The Lord is my shepherd." It's interesting, the Lord is described as a shepherd, though. David, the author of the psalm, would have known, because that was his job was as he was growing up, a shepherd boy, caring for his father's flock, making sure they were all well fed and safe. But isn't it amazing to see how his relationship with the Lord is so personal, so intimate, to an extent that he would dare to call upon the Lord as my shepherd? Is that how you would normally relate to God, the creator of the universe, that God? But the Bible teaches us today, yes, that's how we should relate to him. He is my shepherd. He knows my need, and he knows how to care for me. But hang on a second. If the Lord is my shepherd, what are we like? We're meant to be like sheep. Let's be honest, if someone told you you're like a sheep, bah, bah, sheep, wouldn't you feel humiliated? Have you ever seen a sheep? They're such simple animals. All they do is eat, drink, and sleep. Have no sense of direction, can never find food for themselves, completely defenseless, full of fear. And what? I am supposed to be like sheep? But let's humble ourselves now. And just imagine we are sheep and carry on to the next line. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. If the Lord is my shepherd, I ought to say I lack nothing. However, the truth is, we often don't feel that way, do we? Could it be because we have stopped being a sheep under his care and tried acting like a shepherd over my own life? I want this, I want that. Let me help myself to them. Trying to search for our own source of food and comfort when we clearly have no sense of direction on our own. Trying to defend for ourselves from harm's way when in reality, we stand no chance on our own. Let's turn to the next verse and see how the real shepherd actually leads us. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Have you noticed everything is initiated by him? It is he who makes, he leads, and he refreshes. And why does our Lord take us to these places like green pastures and quiet waters? His chief concern for us today is to refresh our soul. So let me ask you, how is your soul today? What is draining your soul? Do you ever ask? When you are in search for your own green pastures to feed on, remember Jesus said, I am the bread of life. When you think of your own source of water to quench your thirst of life, remember Jesus said, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And when you tried moving from places to satisfy your hunger and thirst and still find your soul is restless, remember Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, says Jesus. Let's now turn to the next verse and see where he guides us. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. There are so many paths in life, isn't there? So many plans that we have made. And how many of those plans can you actually say it turned out the way you expected to be? How did you end up here in London? How did you even come to know God for yourself? Did you plan it all along? At this precise moment in my life, I'm going to know him, receive him as my own savior? Did you plan it? And how much do you really know exactly where you might be heading? And who is it for? If we ever attempt to make a big name for ourselves, building our own Tower of Babel, we would definitely crumble and fall. But we have the gospel. The good news has been revealed to us through the person of Jesus Christ. And as we welcome him as our Lord, Savior, our shepherd over our life, we can be sure that he guides along the right path. And since this is for his name's sake, we will not be shaken. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. And remember, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So let's come to the way, the truth, and the life. Now we're going to move on to the second half of the psalm. A marvelous psalm, and it's so beautiful because it doesn't shy away from walking through the reality of life. When we do find ourselves caught up in the darkest valley, storms of this life, and we are expected to fear. But interestingly, David chooses to say, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. How does he come to this conclusion that he will not fear? How does he find comfort in such dark places? Well, David says it's a fact that you are with me, that I will not fear. It has nothing to do with how I feel or what I see, but all to do with the truth that you are with me. Emmanuel, God, you are with me. It's true reality. The Lord, my shepherd, is with me. Can we recite that over and over as we step into our own darkest valley? Next, we see your rod and your staff. They comfort me. Who do you turn to when you are under pressure, when you're in sort of a panic mode, when you are in fear? And if it's not a who, then what is it that you turn to find comfort in those situations? Could be relationships, drinks, shopping spree, sports, holidays, property, food, fitness, Netflix. The list can go on. The world offers so many options, but if it's not drawing us any closer to the presence of our living God, none of those choices that we make could ever bring us lasting comfort from our fear, from our own darkest valley. Here in the psalm, the sheep finds its comfort from the rod and the staff. What is the main use of the rod and the staff? Rod is often used to fight off any predators coming. It's almost like a javelin. The shepherd would throw it in the far distance just to shake away any kind of herds of wolves coming to attack. It's a weapon. And the staff? Maybe it will tap gently along the sheep to guide them, but often it will be pulling them by the neck if they happen to be going off the rail. So in reality, the rod and the staff are not so pleasant instruments for the sheep to look at, let alone to find comfort in. What might be the rod and staff in your life? Where should we be looking at for comfort? It should be the word of God. It's comforting, yet disturbing at the same time, depending on our thought and attitude of the heart, as it is written in Hebrews. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of heart. And Paul reminds us in 2 Timothy, all scripture is God's breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Does that bear any resemblance to the rod and the staff? So when we read that section again, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know our comfort can only come from the living word. Would you turn to the word when you walk through those darkest patches of life? Next, we see that you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Here, suddenly, the sheep in the psalm is now turned into a person. Only people eat from the table, don't we? In the most unlikely circumstances, such as in the presence of my enemies, he prepares a table before me. Isn't that outrageous? Would you be able to swallow that kind of food when you know you're about to get attacked? When your enemies are staring at you? But actually, yes. You will be able to eat that feast because you are not alone. That shepherd is with you. Yes, you'll be able to have that big appetite to enjoy the great feast that has been prepared for you, even in the presence of our enemies. And if there are still many battles to be fought for us in the now until he returns, let's remember, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And let's fix our eyes on his rod and the staff, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Next we see, you anoint my head with oil. The anointing of the head with oil signifies someone chosen by God, set apart for his will, often used to appoint a new king in the Old Testament. And here he says, you anoint my head with oil. Wow. Is that how you see yourself? Maybe we have to start seeing ourselves the way how God sees us. Not by worldly standards. For it says in 1 Peter 2 verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You anoint my head with oil. We are a chosen people, God's special possession. My cup overflows. There's a shift in the attitude of the poet. Have you noticed it began by saying, I lack nothing. Yeah, it's okay. I think I just got enough. I'll be content. But here, after going through all the hardship and dark valley and coming out having a great feast in the presence of his enemies, he comes to a point saying, my cup overflows. Is that how we see ourselves when we look back on our own journey? Perhaps we have forgotten how God has delivered us throughout the ages in our journey. David remembered when he was just about to fight Goliath. He remembered those battles. God has delivered him from the paws of bears and lions. And he knew he could face Goliath, for God was with him. If you cannot say today, my cup overflows, let's practice to look back, to give thanks. Retrace those steps how God constantly pursued us. He led us through green pastures and quiet waters, walked before us, beside us, behind us, through that darkest valley in our life, preparing a feast before us, sealing us with his Holy Spirit to say that we are his special possession, and then allow our cup to be overflowing. For we have received so much more than we can ever imagine, all by his grace, because he loves us. The psalm now comes to an end with a closing remark. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David does not say maybe or hopefully, but surely. Because the Lord is my shepherd, he is with me. Therefore, we can also join in to conclude with absolute certainty. Surely, your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, which is about now and the time we still have here on earth. But it does not end there, does it? It's until forever. Our perspective in life has suddenly been stretched from now to eternity, as we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So as we draw to a close, can you ask yourself, how is my soul doing today? Would you ask the Lord to take me to green pastures and still waters to refresh my soul, to guide me along the right path for his name's sake? And as you step out of the church, your heart and mind might go numb with all the plates you might be spinning today. And there will be areas of life that you know for sure you have absolute no control over. But brothers and sisters, do not lose heart, for we are the flock under his care. Remind yourself, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And turn to the rod and the staff. Memorize this beautiful song for your soul, his living word. And finally, as we look ahead, let's say it aloud. With absolute certainty, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We know we are held in the hand of the Lord. Amen.